For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio at Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains, it's time for O'Neill Outside. For anything in the outdoors, this is your source. Listen in and call the show with your comments or questions. And now, here's O'Neill.
Welcome back, everyone. It's 6 after the hour, and from the Bojangles Studio high in the mountains of North Georgia, you're listening to O'Neill Outside. We welcome you to an unused Saturday morning, and we have several subjects of the outdoors, and we would appreciate your calls. And if you would like to involve yourself in the program, the telephone numbers are 404-872-0750 or outside the Atlanta calling area, 800-972-8255. You can be listening at WSB Radio, AM and FM across the South and into 38 states east of the Mississippi, and the SB Nation Radio Network, 126 sports broadcast stations across the country, including Boston's Sports Power Radio. I can't remember.
There's some vowels in there somewhere,
right?
Followed by a, you know,
that's
with a
right.
W in
front.
And
the Dixie Ticket, or whatever they call that, or the Dallas Ticket in Dallas, Texas, and throughout Houston, Fort Worth, and all out in Texas, all the way to California, including the upper Midwest. We usually get a lot of calls from Indiana and Ohio and so on. My guest this morning, I'll go ahead and introduce him to you, is Scott Maxim. He's engineered for us when we were on WSB. He's gone on to greater things, but he will be... Our plans are, and we're very, very fortunate for him to be the substitute for me and for Gail. He's an outdoorsman, a shooter, a hunter, and he'll be substituting for us when we're got a little travel schedule this summer, and so that you won't miss out on the current news in the outdoors. It's 8 after the hour, so welcome, Scott. This is kind of fascinating from the little cabin in North Georgia, isn't it?
It's definitely a different perspective.
Yes, indeed.
You know, previously, my relationship with you when we were doing the show was from behind some glass in another room, mm-hmm. working the boards and everything like this. To see how everything ties in on this side of it is definitely a different experience.
It's right. Well, you're going to do well with it, and you'll have some people listen to O'Neill Outside, hopefully, to learn something or be reminded of something about hunting, fishing, camping, hiking. And I have something very important to tell you as soon as we return, I promise. I've been failing to mention to you, you guys who are at home, you folks that might be at home, you can watch the televised version of O'Neill Outside by going to Facebook to O'Neill Outside. It's going on live right now, and it will be edited and put on Facebook over and over again so that you can watch us. Woman Williams is upstairs. We don't know whether we'll get visited by Woman Williams this morning or not. But I promised you something, okay? Here's a tip. So you're not a fisherman. You're not a hunter. That's fine. That's great. But you would like for your children to have the option of enjoying the outdoors. It's easy, but you have to do the following. Ready? Scott and I talked about this last night. You don't have to have a rod and reel in your hand. You don't have to have a pistol or a rifle or a bow for you to enjoy the outdoors. Go on a hike. Small, you don't have to go far. But for you to appreciate more fully where you are, what you're doing, and what is around you, when you get into the woods, stop. Sit next to a tree and stop talking. Be quiet. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then you will suddenly realize that they're birds and chipmunks and squirrels and all kinds of stuff all around. If you shut up.
That's the key.
Listen. Okay. Another recommendation, and or this is for next year, of course, but I get a lot of calls, and I'm sure it's not a surprise to you, Scott. I get a lot of calls, and it's okay, and emails and so forth, because it's always available, O'Neill Outside Facebook page. And the question is often, too often, as a matter of fact, but I'm glad they're involved. I said, what caliber rifle shall I use for my 8-year-old to deer hunt?
Taking an 8-year-old on a deer hunt sounds a little suspect to start with, let's be honest.
Correct. Relax, okay? If you want to know the truth from O'Neill, this is all my opinions, deer hunting is a bore. Let's just sit here in the stand till something walks by. Okay?
Not in an 8-year-old's nature by any stretch of the imagination.
That's exactly right. Hey, get a BB gun, a pellet rifle, a 410 single shot, okay?
22.
That's right. And well, that's a dangerous weapon because it travels so far, but go to the woods and be a squirrel hunter.
There you go.
You got a lot of shots. You can be quiet. They're in the trees all around you. And you can cook them and eat them. It's worthwhile. But it's so much more fun than deer hunting. An 8-year-old doesn't. Maybe he can sit in a stand with you and you take the deer and learn about it. But before you do that, what is a scrape? What's a rub? Why does he do that? What is the rut? What triggers the rut? See, there's so many more things to understand about deer hunting, or squirrel hunting, or hog hunting, and especially the turkey hunt. Relax and make it joyful. And then the last thing I'll shut up with O'Neill's big mouth is, if it's a kid, if it's a child, you don't need to go to Alaska for 5 days. Make it a wildlife management area in the state where you live and make it a 2-hour hunt or three. You know, you don't have to go all day fishing. You don't have to catch a world's record bass. Catch a little pumpkin seed bream. They love it. And they will remember it always. Okay? So there you are. I can't help it, Scott. I dish out advice like.
Well, you know, but the big thing there is when you take the kid out, you're setting up the next generation for the outdoors.
Absolutely.
That's the whole key to it. Mm-hmm. You get them out there young to where they can, you know, as they grow older, they can get into more involved outdoor activities.
Certainly.
Like you're saying, you know, start off simple. And, but that's the thing. Keep it going from generation to generation. Foster that appreciation for the outdoors mm-hmm. with the youngins.
Well, one of the things I point out, when Travis, that's my grandson for you new on the show, Travis is an outfitter. He's 28 years old. He's an outfitter in Texas and Oklahoma. He started early. And he did not play football in high school because it's fall. You go hunting in the afternoon.
Yeah, right. Better things to do.
Okay. And it's going to last him forever. I can assure you, most of you, and it did for me because I got hurt and had to have the old knee surgeries, you know, that ended my career. But most of your high school career's over at 18 years old. You're mm-hmm. done. I
yeah.
was. You're done. Being an outdoorsman lasts forever.
You know, and here's the thing, too, that with age, you can actually get better as an outdoorsman.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I'm not watching my physical abilities drop off the end of the scale walking around the outdoors doing the hunting and such. Mm-hmm. But I am if I'm playing football. I am if I'm playing baseball, something of that nature, basketball. No, hunting, and actually with hunting and fishing and such, it's relaxing as well.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a nice little calmness that comes.
Every single trip to the outdoors, hunting and fishing, is completely different from the previous trip.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely complete. And then lastly, and I'll shut up about the subject, everybody from the third grade to the when they leave high school, everybody has to have something to hang their hat on. They can be the high school quarterback. They can be the tallest guy on the basketball team. But everybody can't do that. okay? But if you're an outdoorsman, when you go back to school in the fall, you've got something to talk about.
Absolutely.
Guess where I went? Guess what I did? Guess what I saw?
Guess what I ate?
Yeah. Exactly right. 18 after the hour, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. And let's see here what we've got. We've got, we'll put Mike on in a couple of minutes. He wants to listen to the program a little bit before he gets on. And we'll put him on back at 25 after the hour. I need to get out of here in a minute. So there you are. That's my little sermon, very supportive of my guest about being involved in the outdoors. I know that it was kind of funny. You may not know this, but I wrote it in a book. I had a friend, and in the summertime, a fishing buddy. His name was Rick Hobbins. His name was Jeffrey Merrick, and we called him Rick. And we were good fishermen. So when we were 13, 14, 15 years old, instead of working at the grocery store for tips, we went fishing. And we went to the local dollar lakes around in the county and to fish for catfish and carp. And we discovered if we took big handfuls of whole kernel corn and threw it out in the lake, in a couple of hours, every fish in the lake was right in front of us. And I would travel around the bank to the other people that were fishing that Saturday, and I would tell them, you know, if you need any fish before you leave, now we're right over there, and we'll have some, and we'll sell them to you. And a lot of people would say, get away from me, you little punk. I'll catch my own fish. But we had so many fish, and we caught so many fish, carp and catfish, that literally at the end of the day, we would have people standing behind us saying, I'll take the next one. And we would sell them for a quarter, maybe 50 cents if it was a big one. And that's how we made our spending money in the summertime instead of working at the grocery store. And we would make $7 or $8 a day.
Sure.
And got to fish all day. So he ended up, I'm telling the story, if you'll permit me, everybody on radio, I'm telling Scott this. So Rick spent his entire business career with Browning, fishing tackle and rifles and so forth. And you know what I do for a living. So quite frankly, we still sell our catch.
There you go. Now my question is this. How many of those people would pay the money for the fish and then go home and eat it? Or would they go home and say, look what I caught, I'm bragging?
Both,
yeah.
Without a doubt.
I mean, if it's 50 cents for bragging rights, that's an easy payoff.
That's right. All right, we got to get out of here for a break. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. Give us a call. We've got a lot of things to talk about. I have Mike Buchanan coming up when we return. I'll be back.
I've been looking for someone like you to save me. That's too easy to be so.
25 after the hour, you're listening to O'Neill Outside, and I'm so proud and flattered to tell you that there's going to be a movie. And I've asked Mike Buchanan to telephone the program this morning. He's on the line right now. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Tell everybody about this fabulous idea for the movie you're going to produce.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd sell my catch. Kind of listen to your story there.
You like that?
Good stuff. Now, this is a film that's set at a bass fishing tournament, which is great. And it's called Bait and Tackle. And it's the story of two young brothers who kind of put aside their differences in order to save Grandpa's old fish camp for orphans from the bulldozers. Mm-hmm. And they, along the way, with the help of a tomboy accomplice, they bring their father and their estranged uncle back together. So it's a feel-good family adventure that people are excited about. And the plan is to have you in the film, and we are thrilled about that. And I know that Jimmy Houston and Hank Parker have agreed to be in the film, so we're excited about all of that, especially your involvement.
Well, you're very kind. And we're all flattered that when I contacted Bill and Roland and Jimmy and Hank Parker and all of those guys what's his name? The last name's Ott, I'm sorry. But in any case, everybody said, yes, put me in there.
Yep.
I'd like to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Yeah,
and I've read the workup, and gosh, I wish you well. I hope this thing happens, because it's just a beautiful story.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a lot of great feedback. I know that Johnny Morris read it a couple years ago, you know, Bass Pro Shops, Johnny Morris, and he just loved it. So I think we're on to something here. So what we're doing now, we're in the middle of raising the funds for the for development and for getting all the legal stuff out of the way so we can be off to the races and hopefully film next year in the state of Georgia. And so that's what we're doing. We're doing an Indiegogo campaign.
Okay.
And so anybody that wants to be involved, they can come hang out with O'Neill and all the guys. But, you know, that's what we're doing. They need to find us on Indiegogo.com and look up Bait and Tackle, and I think they'll find us.
Okay, so you can go to baitandtackle.com, or what? Do you give us the route?
Well, it would be Indiegogo.com, and then once you're on there, then find Bait and Tackle, family feature film. And the way it works is, you know, for people that donate at this stage, they can be a featured extra. They can get coolers from the folks at Legends, or hats and sunglasses from Filthy Angler, cool stuff like that.
Oh, good. So you get kind of be involved in the movie and get some goodies besides, huh?
Oh, yeah, we have some good things, and the folks at Cooler Rest have given us some things. So we've got a lot of good feedback from the folks in the industry, and so we're excited about it. It'll probably be next year when we film, but we'll be on location in some lake around Georgia.
Mm-hmm. A Georgia-made film.
Yes, sir.
You wrote the script, didn't you, Mike?
Yes, sir. I wrote the script a few years ago, and you know, it always goes through tweaks and changes and things like that. But when you read it and gave it your seal of approval, then I was thrilled about that. And then so other folks that have read it, you know, they like it. So I think we're good to go.
Let's face it, Mike. There's 60 million fishermen in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they all know Bill and Roland and Jimmy, and a couple of them know me. They will watch this movie, and I won't reveal anything about the ending, but the ending that you scripted is absolutely a tearjerker. I mean, that's a triumph. It really is.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
And I'm
excited about you being involved, because I know all the expertise you'll bring in helping us, you know, make the story even better. And so we just can't wait. We're looking forward to it, and we want people to come join us on the journey.
Tell us, the ending is
kind of when we need folks.
All right, tell us again, how is somebody that might be listening to the program, how can they route themselves over to you so that they might be involved in the movie?
Okay, if they go to Indie, I-N-D-I-E, go-go, .com, and then once you're on there, look up Bait and Tackle Family Feature Film. And they can read all about it and see me running my mouth on a little video about the film and everything. And I think they'll be excited about it.
Okay, and they can also visit O'Neill Outside Facebook page, because you're there with your description of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Right there.
Mighty fine. All right, sir. You got up early. You can go back to sleep now.
Oh, I'm good. And I did want to say that for everybody that O'Neill is the genuinely nice person that you hear him over the radio as. He is a wonderful fellow to meet, and I hope all of your fans get to meet you one day.
Well, you're very, very kind. I appreciate that. You know, this is not important. It's just a radio show. I don't save anybody's life, or I don't put out the fire, and I don't keep you alive if you have a heart attack. It's just a radio show. That keeps you from feeling too much of yourself.
Right. Yeah, we all have to remain humble. And I did want to say, those of us that are making this film are the same ones that did the Fat Boy Chronicles.
Oh, yes, so and that was that very successful, was it not?
Yeah, it was. We were on Netflix forever and in all the stores, number 6 in Redbox. And so we've done this before. Mm-hmm. And so if you liked the Fat Boy Chronicles out there and it made a lot of people feel good about life, then that's what we're hoping to do again with this film.
Can't wait to be involved, sir. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Thank you so much.
You bet. See you soon, pal.
See you, buddy.
You bet. There you are. All right, let's see who's up next. Scott, let's go now to Brian, and Brian is calling from Atlanta on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, O'Neill. I just wanted to add, you guys were talking about taking a kid hunting. Last year, a friend of mine is a single mother, and I took her 13-year-old hunting with me.
Uh-huh.
And we went to a little friend's property, sat out there first thing in the morning. He got up and with me, and he ended up falling asleep right next to me. It woke him up about 7:30 and started telling him about the rut and whatnot. And based on what I had on camera, I had a time frame of what deer were going to show up, and it was 5 minutes to eight. And I said, next 45 minutes, this is when the deer are going to show up. And okay, this 13-year-old kid's eyes lit up when 2 minutes later I said, hey, do you see that doe out there? And he stood up real quiet. The doe walked across. The second doe walked across. And then here comes a nice little basket eight, mm-hmm, right at us. And we were able to successfully harvest that young guy. And went through the whole process of gutting it and taking it to the processor and all that stuff. And it was, anytime I've taken somebody else hunting with me, it's always been 100 times better than me just going out there and sitting by myself.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I really do appreciate that call and that summation of your involvement in taking a kid hunting. That's absolutely marvelous. And he will remember that forever.
I hope so.
He won't.
I told him he could come back next year, because I haven't been that successful that quick unless I take somebody hunting with me.
That's right. And two, you know something, one of the things that is a lesson, if you take a child into the deer woods for a hunting trip, something like that, there's nothing wrong with the subject of, I'm going to let that deer pass. I'm not going to shoot that deer, and here are the reasons why. That is a lesson also about conservation. And you know, right now, Brian, there are more deer, white-tailed deer, in the United States now than there was when Columbus landed.
That I did not know.
Yes, indeed. And the model for conservation, wildlife conservation, the model that is operated in the United States is the model for the world. There is no country on earth that manages their wildlife as successfully as does the United States of America and their wildlife resources divisions in each state. None at all. And that in itself is a fabulous lesson. I do appreciate you calling. That's a great story, pal.
Thank you, bud. You have a good day.
You'll
have a good one.
You bet. Stay in touch, okay? There you
will
are.
Do.
All right.
You know what else is really cool about taking the kid out?
What?
Well, think of all the enjoyment that you get when you go outside and you're doing, you know, the hunting and fishing and so on. And that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But then when you see the kid in that same state, the kid smiling, the kid enjoying himself or herself, that's a different level of enjoyment for the person bringing the kid out.
Absolutely. Well, you never hardly ever see a photo of a child holding a fish that the child's not smiling.
I don't think it exists.
Right.
And if it does,
smile on his face, and it can be a 2-inch brim or a 12-inch largemouth. It doesn't matter.
Oh, when I was a kid, it was me and my brother, 4 and 5 years old, with the cane pole out back in the canal catching sunfish.
There you are.
That was the greatest time of our lives. We had so much fun doing that stuff. And I know my dad enjoyed it, too. He enjoyed watching us go out there and just sit and, you know, hang out.
You remember, I'm cliche-driven, okay? The most beautiful sight in fishing is the hole in the water where the float used to be.
You got it.
Isn't that great?
Yep.
That's not original with me, everybody. I stole that from somebody else. There's nothing original in this at all. 36 after the hour, and we'll take a break here in a couple of seconds. And when we return, it'll be time for the Medal of Honor. and I want you to pay special attention to the voice introduction.
Mm.
It's by a fellow by the name of Scott Maxim.
You don't
we'll
say.
We'll be back.
News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Medal of Honor time. It's this week, Private First Class Daniel Bruce, Marine Corps, Vietnam, March 1969. Early in the morning, Private Bruce was on a watch in his night defense position at Fire Support Base Tomahawk when he heard movements ahead in the jungle. An enemy explosive charge was thrown toward his position, and he caught the device, gathered it up, and shouted to his companion, the other Marine Corps soldiers close by. I'm sorry, I have a hard time with this. Realizing the danger, the adjacent position with his three occupants, Private Bruce held the device against his body and ran to carry it away from the vicinity of his companions. As he moved away, the charge detonated and he absorbed the full force of the explosion. Private Bruce's selfless devotion to duty saved the lives of three of his fellow Marines and upheld the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and the U.S. Naval Service. He gallantly gave his life for his country. Daniel Bruce, Vietnam, 1969. And if he were still alive, he would be listening to this show.
Darn right.
But he's not. 42 after the hour. Let's talk to Richard. Richard calls often, and it's always a pleasure. Richard's calling from West Virginia. Good morning, Richard. How are we this morning?
Well, I'm better than nothing, I guess.
Okay.
You know what I wanted to ask? I heard you talk. I heard your guest on there talk about the movie they're going to do with you.
Yes.
And the one thing he did mention in there, it sort of fits in with why I called, is that he said that there are 60 million fishermen out there.
Yes.
What I'm interested in, you don't hear anything, because after you, I listen to a show called Bassmaster Radio, and they have guests on their college and all different types. I've never heard a woman ever mentioned. Now, maybe little girls might go fishing, but with that 60 million, I don't know that you have any facts that you could figure it out, but it just interests me because you never hear about women in these tournaments. Are there women who do fish in the tournaments, or just after they're just done with being a little girl, they just go?
Well,
put their apron on and forget about fishing.
Well, it's more than you probably think, but it's probably about 90. Like for instance, this show right here, my audience is probably in the territory of 91% men, and the outdoor television programs. I think there are 85, the demographics are 85% men. So indeed, even in the household of viewing television, listening to radio, and participating in outdoors, it's heavily men, no doubt, in the territory of 85 to 95%. You
yeah,
are
I guess
correct.
There's no way to figure out why they don't. That's right. You don't hear any. I've never heard a woman ever call your show. They
oh,
might
well,
have.
Usually we heard. Have... one or two a month. I know we have some listeners every week that send us emails and are in touch with us on Facebook at O'Neill Outside and express their appreciation and will comment on the enjoyment of the show and the subject matter and so on. But out of those 60 million, I would suspect you're talking about those are 60 million fishing license holders. And I would presume to think that was probably 88 to 90% men. You are correct. Why? I don't know. We're different.
Well, that's the answer to it, so I guess that's a puzzle. I'll just have to keep wondering about why.
That's right. You'll just have to sit there and ponder that, Richard.
Well, I guess that will give me something to think about that.
That's right. Well, to expand the knowledge in that part, you've got there are 60 million men and women over 16 years old. In other words, relatively adults. 60 million over 16 years old. Who will respond to the following question, are you a fisherman? 60 million will say yes. 15 million will say yes to the question, are you a hunter? It's not as politically correct to be a hunter as it is a fisherman.
Okay, well, I didn't get the answer, but like I said, I guess that gives me something that I can ponder. Okay.
I hope to hear from you next week, Richard. Have a pleasant weekend, sir.
Okay, you too.
Let's go, Mountaineers.
Yeah, Mountaineers. No
Woo-hoo,
kidding.
West by God.
Here's, let's see, we've got time for this, I think. We do indeed. Let's talk to Albert, calling from New Hampshire. Good morning, Albert. Yeah. You're listening to O'Neill Outside. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I've been listening to your show since the beginning of ice fishing, so I decided to give it a call last week. Didn't have much time, but
I recall.
Yes, sir. So I just wanted to give a little update. I lived in Jacksonville Beach, Florida for a little while, so I understand cane pole fishing when I was a kid, so I was enjoyed catching some of that earlier before the conversation. But
oh, right on.
That's,
you bet.
That was a fun time, me and my two older brothers.
You remember it always.
Yes, sir. So I just a little trout update up here in New Hampshire. All the lakes have been stocked. Pleasant Lake, which is a nice clear lake we have up here, is well stocked with big brown trout and big rainbow trout.
Ooh.
And then Massabesic Lake, which is locally next to here to me, has been heavily stocked. So a lot of fishermen are out there getting their fishing time in right now.
Good deal. Yeah, the water temperature is rising and the fish are active. Let me ask you a question. On the movie on Golden Pond, wasn't that a New Hampshire lake?
Yes, that was Squam Lake.
Squam Lake and on Golden Pond. How about that?
Yeah, Squam Lake's a pretty big lake, so to call it a golden pond is kind of funny. So, but yeah, very beautiful lake up there, clear water, lake trout, salmon, rainbow trout, great place to fish, ice fish too, because it's easy to access once the ice is on.
Oh boy! Well, an experienced angler from New Hampshire, and I'm glad to hear from you, sir. And I appreciate you listening to the program. And what?
Thank you, O'Neill.
Tell me this, Albert. What's your favorite bait for trout?
I'm a regular worm guy. I like to throw a little split shot on there and walk around these little streams that we have and throw a piece of Nightcrawler or, half a piece and just let it float down the stream, and that's what I like. But if I'm ice fishing, though, O'Neill, if I ice fish, I'm a salmon egg guy.
Ah.
I like the Putzky's.
Okay.
Yes, I like the Putzky's salmon egg. This year I caught a couple nice 3-pounders in about, 15, 16 inches of water. So.
Ooh. Good eating. That's dinner.
Fun. Yes, I like to get my fish away, too. I have a lot of older neighbors that live around me who can't fish anymore, so when I do get my fish, I like to hand them out, and it's great to see the smiles on the people's faces when you give them fish.
Wonderful. What a good... Hey, Albert, this is the best call of the day.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate you listening to the program. Call next week and give me a tip about trout fishing in lakes that you can know about, or I tell you what, call me next week and give me an ice fishing experience.
I got it all for you, O'Neill. I got it all for you.
I'll bet you do.
I'll give you something good next week, sir.
Good deal. I want to know about ice fishing.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for calling, Albert.
You have a great week.
You bet. You too. There you go. Let's see. It's 48. I've got time for this. Let's talk to Bob. Bob is calling on O'Neill Outside from the Santee-Nacoochee area of Georgia. How about that, Scott? Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, O'Neill. How are we doing this morning?
Good. How's the turkey hunting? You about to wind it up?
Well, I lined one up the Wednesday after opening morning, and it's been kind of dry since then. But you know where I'm at. I'm in the mountains not far from you in Santee-Nacoochee near Helen.
Yes.
But I had a couple questions for you. One...
All right, go.
Did Roscoe ever use a Yelp call to locate, or was he only using like crow calls and things of that nature as a locator call?
He often would start out Now, Bob is making reference to the best turkey hunter I ever went out with, and he taught me a lot. His name was Roscoe Reams. And the chapter about Roscoe is the last chapter in my next book. And I'm going to write about Roscoe. But he waited for the first cardinal he could hear. He didn't call anything until he heard the cardinal. He would make one crow call, and then he would wait for a gobble. And when he got a gobble, he would respond two times. And then the bird was dead.
Interesting. I got to read. I'm ready for the last chapter already.
All right, good but, for you.
Just had one more comment, O'Neill. I'd like us to pray for our DNR law enforcement who will be on Lanier today, hoping okay. they recover the missing fishermen.
Yeah, did we know anything? Have we been made aware? Now, what Bob is referencing, there was a boating accident at Lake Lanier this week in which a bass boat rammed into a cruiser. Is that not correct, essentially?
Yes, sir. That is correct. And the younger victim is still missing.
Do we know who that is?
Well, the names were published in the paper, but I won't say. But the second victim is missing, and they're supposed to resume search today.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
That's too bad and totally inexcusable.
Yes, sir.
Totally and completely inexcusable.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Thanks for calling, sir. Keep me up to date with your turkey hunting, will you?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a good day. See you.
Mighty fine. And did you buy the first book, Bob? I've already lost Bob.
I think Bob's gone.
Bob's gone. Oh, man. Okay.
That's okay. He'll call back next week with the answer.
That's right. Nope. Yeah, let's.
Bob's really gone.
It's 51 after the hour, and let's talk to Craig. Good morning, Craig. You're on O'Neill Outside. Welcome.
Morning, O'Neill. It's good to hear you and old Scott this morning. I ain't heard that voice in a long time.
That's right. He's got a great voice, doesn't he? He's a radio guy.
Well, he's a radio guy, and he's an outdoorsman, too. I'm riding in the big truck, so if I'm bouncing, that's old Fat Gut bouncing. But, hey, I got my prize package. I won about 3 weeks ago after 28 years of listening, so, yeah, it was great, too. Every time I'd call in, Scott Corey would tell me, he said, you done missed it. And that's what it was. I was listening to it online.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, you're a few seconds delay. So the questions are usually relatively easy. But I'm glad you finally won.
Hey, listen, it was the greatest thing in the world. I sent a picture of it to my brother, spread it out on ticket. Hey, that gentleman that calls in from, is it Mr. Richard from Virginia, if he wants to see, if he's still listening, and I know you partake of this, if he wants to see how many women are involved in hunting and fishing, he ought to get a GOM magazine.
They're
in there. That's a good recommendation.
Yes, indeed. Enthusiastic, smart. You know what I have found with the women that I have hunted with? They're very patient. There's very little testosterone running around in those veins, so they're not like us. They are patient. They don't have to win the world all at once.
Yeah, you're right. My daughter's a whole lot better fisherman. I mean, and hunter than my boys. She's 13 and a half, and of course they're 28. But they, you know, they were throwing rocks in the water and whatnot, which is fine. You know, just get outside with them. It's a great thing. But anyway, I'm gonna let somebody else get in, O'Neill.
Mighty fine.
Appreciate everything.
See you later, pal.
Scott.
You bet.
Great to
Scott.
Be here.
Let's see. It's almost 54 after the hour. I'm going to ask Jason from Woodstock to hang on. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
When to let me fall. Looking back, he always had a plan. My old man. My old man.
57 after the hour, we've got time for one more call. Then we're going to chat with Scott for a moment. But let's, because he called late in the program, here's Jason from Woodstock.
Hey, good morning,
Jason. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. Hey, I just wanted to call and say thank you, by the way, for doing that that Medal of Honor reading. My grandpa was a combat medic in the 7th Beach Battalion, and he used to love to listen to your show at
But yeah, and you're right, by the way, that there's nothing happier than a kid with a fish. I say that, of course, my daughter, she catches these little bream, and she's just it's never big enough, you know. And she got a 13-inch bass one time up at Lake Altoona, and it took the rod and reel right out of her hand, and she about dove in after it. But anyway,
that's
I just wanted to call and say thanks for all you do for the veterans and everybody, and I'll let somebody else get a word in. Have a good weekend.
You too, pal. Glad you called. You stay in touch, all right? And, well, what do you think, Scott? You're going to handle this just as smooth as silk, aren't you?
I don't see any problems here, but I do see a challenge. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to mm-hmm. be able to come in here and learn this side of the business, first
yes.
of all. But
uh-huh.
but more than that, just to be able to talk with the folks out there, I think,
oh, yeah.
is a ton of fun.
If you can't be pleasant and enjoy and share stories about outdoors, you need to go see a shrink. I mean, this...
Or just put yourself on an island someplace and save the rest of the world from your misery, okay? just go isolate
right.
yourself, be a hermit. The world will be a better place.
Yeah, this is... we landed on something here that hopefully will last several more years, and your help in substituting for us from time to time while we've got a few little trips coming up this summer that we're looking forward to, and your being involved, it gives us a great deal of confidence that it's going to be just as smooth as silk.
Well, I thank you for putting your trust in me, and I will do my utmost both for you and for the fine listeners here on O'Neill Outside.
And so for Karen and Brian Green handling everything and making the show what it is, and Corey and everyone at WSB, this is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside, and I can tell you this, you're too busy to go fishing and take a child along. You're too busy. You guys have a great week, and I'll see you next Saturday morning.
Georgia, a song of you.
WSB.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.